Right, we're going to be starting a new study this evening, and the title of the new study is Apologetics, and you'll appreciate, I pray, as we unpack this over the coming months, that you'll see how important it is to the whole of our Christian life. Christian apologetics has to do with the defense of the faith. Apologetics is derived from the Greek word apologia, which really means to make a formal defense of oneself or one's position, so it's a formal presentation of your case. The Roman leader Festus, in recounting Paul's bonds and the accusations of the Jews against him, said to these Jews who were accusing Paul, and they were demanding Paul to be put to death and prosecuted, he says to these Jews in Acts 25 and verse 16, "It is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charges against him." So this is what it's talking about. To give this answer for himself is the same word that is used there as we derive the word from apologetics, to make a defense of his position in a court of law. In another context, Peter says to all believers in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." So we're always to be ready to give an apologia to everyone who asks us about the reason of our hope, to defend that, to present why we believe what we believe, what are the grounds, what is the basis for this belief. Upon what authority do we hold to our convictions? This question will become critical as we develop a consistently biblical apologetic for the defense of the Christian faith. By what authority are you saying what you're saying? So I want this to become a second nature question for yourself and for everyone with whom you interact. What is the authority for what you are stating? By what authority do you say that? Or why should I believe what you are saying? Everything we believe and do should be backed by authority. We don't merely believe and act in any way we choose. And when we come to defending the faith against the assaults of the unbeliever, we must ask him the same question. By what authority are you saying that? Your accusation, your attack, by what authority are you saying that? Whatever ethical statement the unbeliever makes, or anyone makes for that matter, we are to ask why we should believe their claims. Now, you don't want to become foolish and silly in that, the way you're doing it, but that's got to be in your mind. What is the authority for the statement? What authority backs it up and thus gives it credibility and weight? When you ask the unbeliever this, he has to explain the nature of reality. He's got to explain and tell you how he knows things, by what authority he knows things. I know this by this authority. So that's what you're trying to get him to explain to you. But at the same time, we've got to understand how this whole thing works. If we can merely make outlandish claims without having to justify those claims, then we have no basis for communicating or attaining true knowledge. How do we communicate anything? If I can just say anything without authority and it's as legitimate as anything else that somebody says, you can realize communication quickly would break down into nothing. Things are not true merely because we state them to be true. The person who claims that there is no God has to answer the question, by what authority does he make his claim that there is no God? He's got to explain that. On what authority? What is the basis for making that claim? And once you start to push him in that direction, the dialogue and the whole discussion opens up very broad. He can't merely make statements without explaining how he arrived at these conclusions, if he wants to be taken seriously, that is. We don't take seriously the man running around the streets of Chicago saying he's the King of England. You know, we want to say, well, by what authority? Have you got some credentials to back up that claim? Or, you know, what is the authority of that claim? The same way if somebody's going to be taken seriously, there is no God. He says, why? Just because there is no God, that's why. If he's willing to have a serious discussion, all knowledge requires backing. It requires credentials. So the unbeliever, in talking to you, might say that the way he knows things is by relying upon his senses. You know, I feel them, I touch them, I taste them, I can smell them. That's how we arrive at knowledge. The materialist argues that all knowledge is limited to our senses. That is, it is attained or justified by one's senses. And since this person hasn't seen or touched God, he concludes there can be no God. Because anything that's real, all knowledge is attained through my senses. And my senses have not been able to get a hold of God yet. Those are your five senses I'm talking about, the touch, taste, and smell. But then we must ask the same question. How do you know that? How do you know that your senses are the source of your authority? That it's through your senses that you acquire all knowledge? You see, he needs to explain by what authority he can make this claim that people only know things through their senses. So don't just stop there. Ask him again, by how do you know that? How can you be sure that this is a true source of knowledge? What is the believer's authority? Okay, it's scripture. So when you're speaking about ethics, for example, and the unbeliever says to you, by what authority do you claim that there is a universal moral standard with respect to sexuality, whatever moral issue you're talking about? we will refer him to the Bible. And when he says, by what authority do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God? He has pushed us to the ultimate apologetic question. Okay, what is the authority for my ultimate authority? That's basically what he's pushing us to. Because I'm saying, this is my ultimate authority. He says, okay, what's the authority for that? What gives that authority? And this is where a lot of Christians, I believe, go astray. Both the believer and the unbeliever will be driven back to what they claim to be their ultimate authority. You can't merely keep referring to some other authority in an infinite regress. Well, I believe this because of that. Well, why do you believe that? Oh, that's because of this. Well, why do you believe that? Oh, because of this. You can't. Ultimately, you've got to come to a final point which says, this is the absolute final authority for all my knowledge. And so you can say to a child, this is a weak illustration, but maybe it helps. You can say to a child, why are you doing X? Oh, because my mother told me. Okay. Why did your mother tell me? Oh, because my father told her. Okay. Why did your father tell her? Because God told him. Or who told God? Well, it stops there with God. So we need to understand that that's how it is, and that both the believer and the unbeliever are going to go back to their ultimate authority. Everybody's got their ultimate authority, and they're both going to push back to that ultimate authority. It's important that you realize something about final authorities. And ultimate and final are the same. Don't get confused. I'm not talking about two different things. Your ultimate authority and the final authority. But it's important to realize something about final authorities. They are exactly what the name implies. They are the final and highest authority. There's nothing else that you appeal to in order to prove that authority. Thus, where does the authority come from for your final authority? What authorizes your final authority? Where does it get its authorization from? Where do you think it comes from? Itself. There is no other place it can turn to find authorization for its authority. For the Christian, the final authority is God, who has revealed himself through his word, the scripture. Now, when this authority is challenged by the unbeliever and he asks, what authority backs up the word of God? That is, proves the word of God, proves that God's word has authority. What do we say? Or to what do we point? Is there something more ultimate that we now point to? I'm telling you, this is the final authority. This tells us how we are to live, who God is, and how we are to relate. So the guy says, okay, now what backs up that authority? What do we point to? And this is where many Christians are tempted to try and find something that they can back up this ultimate authority with. Is there more ultimate authority than God's word? There can't be. Thus, where do we point to when the unbeliever asks for the credentials for our final authority? We point to the Bible itself. There it is. Now, the unbeliever says, I don't like that. But you'll see he does the same thing. And we've just got to be aware that he's doing the same thing. And that is how we act, so that we are not pressured in order to try and find something more ultimate than the Word of God, in order to support the Word of God. The charge then comes, if the unbeliever says to you, why are you saying my life is sexually immoral? Well, because the Bible shows me that it is. Well, where's the authority for the Bible? Well, the Bible is its own authority. And so we don't appeal to anything beyond that. And the unbeliever is going to say, well, that's circular reasoning. And nobody wants to be charged with circular reasoning until you get to this point. Until you come to ultimate authority, then everybody has to reason in a circular way. At this point, many believers try to come up with a way to prove the authority of his ultimate authority without appealing to the Bible, without appealing to that ultimate authority. They try to prove the Bible by appealing to something outside the scriptures. But this is a mistake. What we need to realize at this point is that there's no other way to support the ultimate authority than by the ultimate authority itself. And we must not be embarrassed by this fact, but rather realize that this is the only way to defend any ultimate authority. The believer and the unbeliever are going to do it in exactly the same way. So when you realize this, that the unbeliever too has to appeal to his ultimate authority to justify his ultimate authority, we can think clearly about our position and his position. So if he believes that all knowledge, for example, the unbeliever, if he believes that all knowledge is attained through our senses, then what are you going to ask him? How do you know? How do you know that all knowledge is attained through your senses? Now, if he answers that everybody knows that, by which he means the majority of the people he mixes with or the majority of the people he relates to embrace the same thing, then what is his ultimate authority? His ultimate authority is the opinion of the majority. But once again, I don't want to get too complicated at this stage, but what is your question? How do you know that the majority of the people believe that? How do you know that? Majority of the people? I mean, what numbers are we talking about here? You know, people make these claims, well, just because everybody knows this. You want to ask him, well, how do you know that? Because remember what he's already claimed. All knowledge only comes to us through our senses. So I want him to explain how he knows that the majority of people believe that. What was the investigation that he undertook in order to arrive at that? Because remember, he's got to use his senses to arrive at his conclusion. So you're pushing him to be consistent with what he is professing. And for the argument's sake, look, we won't even get into the details here. I was saying, okay, how do you possibly, let's just take one moral issue. How do we get a consensus where we can honestly say the majority of people in the world believe this and therefore this position is correct? How do we even arrive at one moral issue and take that survey, if it's even possible? So, but let's grant him his position and say, okay, through my senses I arrive at knowledge. So we grant him that for the sake of the arguments. So you ask him how he knows that everyone, majority, believes such and such, and he'll respond by saying he used his senses to find out. So he's doing exactly what the Christian's doing. We come back to the Bible as our ultimate authority, and when they say, what's the authority for your ultimate authority, we say the Bible itself. The unbeliever is saying, my ultimate authority is that all knowledge is obtained through my senses. And how do you know that? Well, because my senses did the investigation and arrived at this conclusion. So he's doing the same circular reasoning. And so there's no difference. All I'm bringing that out for you to see is, so you mustn't be intimidated when he accuses you of being circular reasoning when you say, I'm appealing to the scriptures, because he does the same thing. But as soon as he says, my senses have checked it out, you can see his system is full of holes at this stage. How can you trust your senses? Or what authority grants your senses the ability to serve in this capacity? How do you know that your senses have this ability? I know one professor who used to teach about your senses used to say, you can't trust your senses. And I'll give you an illustration. I want you to look at that train track. And as you look down this long train track, it looks like those tracks are touching. Okay, so now we're going to walk together to that spot. And when we get there, I'm going to show you that your senses were deceived. So you get to the spot that you marked by the tree away in the distance, and you get there. And you say, well, how am I going to know that these tracks aren't touching here? Well, use your senses. Okay, so when were my senses deceived? Back there or over here? Do you understand? It gets confusing with when you're relying on your senses in order to be your authority. But anyway, the unbeliever will say, because my senses show this to be the case, therefore I trust them, and they are the things that give me the ultimate authority. So the unbeliever is also reasoning in a circle, as I said, and he claims that all knowledge is attained through his senses, and his senses prove this. So he does exactly what the believer does. Now, on the other hand, why does the Christian believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Yeah, because God told us it is. This is my Word. Where did God tell us this? In the Bible. So we must not apologize for reasoning in this way, because we cannot appeal to something more ultimate than the Bible in order to prove the Bible's authority. If we did, then whatever we appeal to is really our ultimate authority. That is the highest authority we have. We have placed it above the Bible. We can point to things that will confirm the truthfulness of the Bible's testimony. But this is different. We can point to things and say, you see, the Bible claims this, and here's historical proof that this is correct, and that confirms the truthfulness of the Bible. But that is far different from saying we're appealing to something outside to give authority to the Scriptures as our authority. The Scriptures themselves carry their own authority. Christians are tempted when challenged as to why they believe the Bible to look elsewhere to support their claims about the Bible's authority. Why do you believe the Bible? Well, because I've studied all the other religions, and I've studied all the other philosophical positions, and I found that Christianity is the most consistent. And that's a genuine apologetic presentation by many Christians. I'll use that because I've studied and I've checked them out. In fact, Gordon Clark, that's basically what he would use. I've checked out all these systems, and they show me that Christianity is the most consistent. He can't even categorically declare it is absolutely consistent. Why? Why could a person never say that? Because he's never checked everything out. And all he's checked out are the systems he's checked out. That doesn't mean every single system he's compared, every single system out there in the world with Christianity. But what this person has done is they've stepped outside the scriptures now and are looking for something that can grant authority to the scriptures based on human reasoning. So once you've stepped out there and did this, well, I've done the study, or I've spoken to professors who have done the study, and I found the expert in every single religious field. And these are good guys, you know, I don't understand all that, so, you know, I really got a weight of scholars in front of me, and all their opinions confirm that Christianity is the most consistent religion. What's my ultimate authority now? It's man's mind again. Myself, because I've chosen the professors I'm going to listen to, or the people I'm going to listen to, or it's I've done the study myself, and I've decided that, yes, Christianity is the most authentic, and therefore I'm standing with Christianity because my mind has granted authority and legitimacy to this book. And so you're really left in skepticism at the end, because if you're honest, you've got to say, you know, I haven't even checked every proposition the Bible makes. How do I check every single claim the scriptures make, from scientific to historical to ethical to every single claim, and evaluate it and find it, does it measure up to life as it should be, and then claim that I have done that to other religious systems, other philosophical systems, and fully evaluated every dynamic of their part. You see, once you go down that path, you really are opening yourself up to skepticism to say, well, most likely Christianity is consistent, or more consistent than others. But we can't be sure of that even, because I haven't checked it out. And my ultimate authority, which is my mind, hasn't had the chance to do the job yet, and so I'm not sure. So in an attempt to sound modern and open-minded and broad-minded or whatever and intellectually great, you've now opened up Christianity to something that reverts to skepticism. So we've basically said that if my mind accepts the criteria, then we believe that this is true. Because otherwise, what do? We set up a committee, and then man's mind gives the final thumbs up or thumbs down to the scriptures. That would be an example of stepping outside of scripture to find something else in order to grant the authority to scripture. Why do you believe the scripture? Oh, because I've done the research. Can you see your final authority? The final authority was my mind doing the research, not the Bible says so, and therefore we stand upon that. It's its own authority. So that's the mistake. So as soon as we step away from the fact that God's word is the ultimate authority for his word, we have undermined our own foundation. The Bible slips to the sideline. We cannot claim that something is the ultimate authority and then defend that ultimate authority with something that is more ultimate than it. You don't appeal to a lesser authority to give legitimacy to a greater authority. So our ultimate authority cannot appeal to anything more ultimate than itself. So we've got to have courage to realize that's what we've got to do, and we've got to have courage to stand there and do that. So we do not apologize. The unbeliever does the same thing, and we need to make him see what he is doing and keep him honest in what he is doing. So as we continue talking to the unbeliever who claims that knowledge is based on observation, empiricism. Dave Hume was possibly your best, most well-known empiricist philosopher, and basically claiming that all of one's knowledge of the world is the product of experience. So my experience gives me the knowledge. And so you live your life upon that, and Hume, I think, was honest enough to realize that, well, that means there's lots of things I can't know. But he claimed that was basically how you arrive at knowledge. What you're going to ask the person who believes this is, by what authority do you know that? So if he says he believes that sensation is the ultimate authority because he has used his senses to establish this, then he's reasoning in a circle, and that's fine. If he doesn't point to his senses or his sense experience to prove this assertion, then he'll be giving up what he claims to be his ultimate authority. So his ultimate authority is not his senses, it's something else. So now you want to find out what it is. What are you truly relying upon? Because you need to get to that final authority before you can really begin your discussion with him, because he regards something as more ultimate than his senses. Everyone, including both believers and unbelievers, will have to admit that at the ultimate foundation of their reasoning process, they reason in a circle. What they claim to be their ultimate authority is what proves their ultimate authority. It is the highest proof for their ultimate authority. An ultimate authority can only be authorized by itself, or else it ceases to be an ultimate authority. So as soon as somebody steps beyond the ultimate authority to prove it, they have set up a different ultimate authority. That is what you're trying to get the unbeliever to realize. That one's ultimate authority is self-attesting. It testifies to itself. It testifies to itself in here, and there's nothing more ultimate to appeal to. Who does God appeal to authorize his authority? Who does he appeal to anyway? You see, that's what we're trying to do when we use man's mind to come up with some other formula or some other idea that proves God's authority. When God says something, who does he appeal to? He doesn't appeal to democratic process. Okay, guys, let's take a vote. Somebody recognizes my authority. Let's ask the United Nations. He doesn't do that because his authority is self-attesting. As he speaks, that is the authority. When he says, I am the Lord, he doesn't say, and by the way, check with so-and-so and he'll confirm this. He just announced, I am the Lord. And that's the end. And that's what we have to embrace, that that's the word that we are confronted with is an absolute word. There's no greater authority. When God speaks in the beginning of the Bible and says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, our tendency is to want to authenticate this by appealing to something else. Something else will give credibility and authority to the statement. Maybe there's some scientific research we can get. Maybe there's something in the solar system out there that we can find that can prove this. But what we need to realize is that is the clearest, most absolute proof we will ever find and ever discover that God created the heavens and the earth. And our mind needs to be changed to that so we realize, hey, this is the clearest proof. When God tells us in the scriptures about the ark, Noah made this ark and what did and whatever, our tendency is to want to find that ark so that we can show the authority of the scriptures. Whereas the bottom line is, the clearest proof of the ark's existence is the fact that God said Noah made it in the scriptures. There is nothing clearer. There is nothing more sure. There is nothing more fundamental. And we need to realize that's how we need to approach the scriptures. This is the clearest, most absolute thing I can hold on to because it's from God's mouth. Rather than thinking, well, if we just found that ark, man, Now, is there anything wrong? It would be an amazing thing to discover the ark, like it would be to discover any, as it has been, any biblical artifact that the scriptures talk about. And then, for example, going back a couple of hundred years, one of the greatest arguments against the historicity of the scriptures was that the Bible talked about a Hittite civilization, and no such civilization ever existed until they found all this incredible amount of stuff with all these collaborating evidence and names and stuff. To the true believer, he didn't need to wait until they discovered the Hittite civilization in the 1800s sometime in order to believe that this is an absolute sure proof of the Hittites' existence. So we don't look to something else. The scriptures are our clearest and most surest authority. So we see that both the believer and the unbeliever have ultimate authorities that are self-attesting. Thus, we must not be intimidated into trying to provide something other than our ultimate authority in order to justify or defend our ultimate authority. Too often, the Christian wants to justify God's claims in scriptures with man's intellectual sanction, man's acceptance. If I can just convince his mind according to this criteria that he sets up, then he will grant authority to the scriptures. But there we've gone about it the wrong way, and we're truly undermining the thing we're trying to do. So if the unbeliever gives any justification for his ultimate authority that is not his ultimate authority, then we need to keep asking the same question, by what authority do you say that, until we arrive at what he accepts as his ultimate authority. Until he claims self-attesting authority for his ultimate authority, he hasn't yet arrived at his ultimate authority. If he keeps throwing it off and saying, no, because of this, so you want to keep pushing him to his ultimate authority. So what does this mean with respect to interacting with unbelievers? If we've both got ultimate authorities, we both stand on those ultimate authorities, and we both argue in a circular way for our ultimate authorities, then can we even communicate? He's going to stand over there, do all his interpretation according to that, and I'm going to stand here and do all my interpretation according to this, and we can never communicate with each other. But the reason you want to push him to his ultimate authority is because once he stands firmly upon his ultimate authority, then we're going to do an internal critique. We're going to go and look at his ultimate authority. We can look at ours as well. You know, he can come and stand with us, and we can look at ours and see, is it consistent with itself, what it's claiming? And then we stand on his and we do the internal critique. And we can get into that in future sessions. But does the unbeliever's ultimate authority provide what is needed in order to know anything? That's what you're going to check. How can you know anything given this foundation that he says is the ultimate foundation he stands upon? If we're truly standing on this, does it provide a foundation for knowledge and understanding about anything? For example, the claim that all knowledge is attained by sense perception. If that's his ultimate authority, okay, there he comes down and he says, this is it, I'm standing upon this, this is the ultimate authority. However, now we're trying to do the internal critique. We say, is it true that observation is the way we attain all knowledge? And he says, yeah, that's my ultimate authority. Observation, by observation we attain all knowledge. Then we need to ask whether the person making such a claim has looked at all things in order to prove that his claim is true. Okay, he's made a claim. All knowledge is attained by our senses. Now, how do you know that? Did you use your senses in order to arrive at that conclusion? Did you discover every aspect of knowledge in the universe to arrive at this conclusion? And he's going to have to say, well, no. The amount that I studied proved this out, and therefore I've kind of now presumed it's true for everything. So his ultimate claim at this stage, you're just doing a very basic internal critique, and you're seeing that it's not holding up to a closest look at it. No one looks at all knowledge, let alone has experienced all knowledge. Thus, the person making the claim has not arrived at this position by doing the necessary observation or observing of all things. Thus, he cannot make this claim that all knowledge is obtained by observation. So immediately, he's got to acknowledge there's something else out there. Now, he might say, well, just give me one chance. I just want to assert something, and then we go from there. But philosophically, that's not allowed. He can't claim to have observed everything, and he can't claim this as authoritative because he hasn't observed all things to be known. Thus, if his ultimate authority was that we only know what we can observe through our senses, then he has contradicted himself right at the beginning. He didn't arrive at his original statement via the route he says we arrive at knowledge. He didn't check everything out. So the believer must be diligent in avoiding falling into the trap of appealing to some criteria other than scripture themselves in order to prove what the scriptures are God's word. What would this false appeal look like? We've talked about one where you've studied all things. It might be trying to prove that there's no historical error in the scriptures. And I'm going to do a thorough study of all history and show you a reconciliation between every historical claim in the Bible or every scientific claim in the Bible and modern science. And I'm going to show you this correlation. And that's going to be my objective. And you've got apologists, Christian apologists, who set out to do that. I'm going to show you. And then once I show you that all this historical data lines up with the scriptures, then that's the authority for the scriptures. But once again, what's become my ultimate authority? Is it the Bible itself? No, it's this other investigation. It's this other survey that I'm doing that will give me the confidence that the Bible is true and therefore give authority to the Scriptures. So that's all you're trying to do, is get him to be consistent, because you're doing this internal critique. He's claimed an absolute statement. Your final authority is not a small thing. You're laying this a massive foundation here, and you're saying this upholds everything. My whole system, the whole universe, rests upon this foundation. And I can prove that the whole universe functions consistently with this foundation I've made, that I've made this claim. And so you say, okay, well, now we're going to investigate that foundation. And so that's what you're doing. Now, he's going to do the same to you, and that's good, because we're resting upon God, and we'll go into that in some detail, and we can see why, when we consistently just appeal to the Scriptures alone, that gives us a sure foundation, and the only sure foundation there is to stand upon. So what is the criteria? What is the criteria we need to come up with in order to believe the Scriptures? Do we need to get this huge gathering of religious leaders together and ask them to draw up a list of what the Scriptures should contain in order for them to be authoritative? Sounds like a good idea. And we could settle the debate, you know? Because once we get this committee to come up with this great list, and then we take that list and we apply that list to the Scriptures, and if the Bible matches up to that list, then we've got authority to show you why the Bible should be believed. Until another committee comes up with a different list that matches a different book. See, as soon as we step outside the Scriptures, we really are becoming fools. But in stepping away the Bible, our ultimate authority, we have undermined our ability to defend the Bible. We've in fact undermined our ability to account for knowledge. And we can unpack that more in the future. We must not feel embarrassed by the fact that God alone is sufficiently able to witness to himself. And thus we must not seek to prove the authority of God's word by appealing to anything other than God's word. People are tempted to look outside the Scriptures to prove Scripture because they think they're being neutral. Don't be closed-minded, be open-minded. Let's just come to this fact with a neutral approach. We're not trying to say God exists, we're not trying to say he doesn't exist. We're just coming to investigate this neutrally. And so this makes a person feel, well, yes, I'm just being open about this and open-minded. But that actually is a lie from the devil. We cannot approach knowledge. There is no basis for knowledge from that approach. The only basis for knowledge is coming from the approach where God's word is the only source of knowledge. And the reason I know this is because God's word told me this. And that's where we stand, and that's where we refuse to get off of. And in time, as we stand upon that position, we'll see that that is the only defensible position. And it gives us the most effective way of undermining the unbeliever's position in order that he might see, you know, actually I'm standing on nothing. And that's what you want the unbeliever to realize. I've got no foundation. So it's important from the outset for the believer to realize and embrace the Scripture as the only and final authority for all true knowledge, and that our defense of the Bible is in accordance with the Bible's own self-testing authority. Thus, when the Bible says that all men know God, when the Bible says that man is made in God's image, and therefore he knows God from that perspective, when the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and therefore all men are without excuse, we receive that as the absolute word, and we formulate our thinking about man, our thinking about apologetics, our thinking about everything based upon that word, as opposed to saying, well, let's study man from a neutral perspective and see who he is. We go to the Scriptures and we find out who man is, we find out how to do this job. Because man is not neutral, and it is only by fearing the Lord that man begins on the path of knowledge. So these things will be unpacked in future lessons, and we'll also come back to what we've said today about our ultimate authority. But this, in my mind, is a vital starting place for learning how to defend the faith in a way that doesn't undermine the very thing we're trying to defend. Many apologetic systems undermine the very thing they're trying to defend. They undermine the Scripture's authority by stepping beyond it in order to demonstrate to the natural man's thinking or the rebellious man's thinking that the Bible does have authority according to man's standard. And so if I can just prove to you according to the standard that everybody accepts, then you'll believe the authority of the Bible. When you try and do that, you've undermined the very thing you're going to defend, the absolute word of God. So everyone has an ultimate authority, but not every espoused ultimate authority is legitimate. The only legitimate ultimate authority is God speaking through his word. And thus, once the believer has shown what his ultimate authority is, then we have to evaluate the claims according to that authority. The unbeliever shows us his, then we evaluate his claims as well and see if those ultimate authorities can account for knowledge. We have to check to see if knowledge is possible based upon the unbeliever's espoused ultimate authority. He says he believes this. Okay, we're going to come and have a look now. Is knowledge even possible based on your foundation? And so that's then you come in and you investigate that, and you slowly unpack that. And that could take weeks or months or whatever if you're discussing with someone, but that's what you're trying to do and trying to establish. So I think, to my mind, if you can grasp that, the idea of ultimate authority, and what that means in practical terms as you stand only upon the Scriptures, I think we've made a good step in understanding a sound, solid apologetic system for defending the faith and also for knowing why we believe what we believe and being able to stand against the many attacks that the world does throw and will throw in the future of your own life. Many times young people are brushed aside because somehow they've never learned to think about the weight and the strength of the scriptures as the only foundation of truth and knowledge. And so some clever ideas come in from these very bright people in the world who have set their hearts against God, and their faith is thrown into turmoil. They suddenly don't know where to stand. And so this is an important subject for that. It's also an important subject for reaching out to the unbeliever. It might be hard to grasp in the beginning. And as we start to unpack it and repeat it and look at it from many different angles, you'll see that indeed this is the only sure place to stand. Are there any questions or comments, clarifications that